California's new privacy law and the possibility of privacy haves and have-nots. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Molly Wood. This week in other voting stories, Californians passed Proposition 24, known as the Consumer Privacy Rights Act. It's a new law designed to improve on one passed in 2018, the California Consumer Privacy Act, or CCPA. This updated version lets people request that companies not share their data in addition to not selling it. It also creates an enforcement agency for compliance to be set up by 2023. Like the GDPR in Europe, California's privacy law has the potential to set rules of the road throughout the U.S., but a number of surprising groups opposed it, including the ACLU of Northern California and the advocacy group Color of Change, because, they said, it could create data privacy inequality. Let's dig in Quality Assurance, the Friday segment where we take a deeper look at a big tech story. Jessica Lee is a partner with the law firm Loeb & Loeb. She advises companies on privacy.
I think the concern of those agencies was, you know, one, that there was no private right of action, which means that individuals can't sue a company to enforce their rights. They have to rely on this California Privacy Protection Agency. There are also some exemptions. So while I think businesses were concerned about this law, there were some exemptions that were built in that are helpful. So it increased the threshold, so some smaller companies will fall outside of the scope. It clarified kind of how much companies need to do to comply. So you don't have to necessarily onboard new technology to help you find unstructured data in your data sets. Even the concept of offering financial incentives, I think from the perspective particularly of the civil rights agencies, sets up a structure where people might be in the position to have to pay for privacy. So privacy might be something that's afforded to people who can pay for it as opposed to people who can't.
Can you explain to us what the law says in terms of this idea of like loyalty programs?
Sure. And I'll take a step up for a second, because I think, you know, this is a law that gives consumers a lot of choice, and you can opt out of sale, you can opt out of certain sharing. And it does put some principles on companies to do, like limit the amount of data they collect. And I think you'll see over time, I mean, we've kind of bought into this concept that of an ad-supported internet, right? We get access to a lot of content for free because our data is used for advertising purposes. And so if we have to opt out, if the way that we protect our privacy is that we have to opt out of sharing or opt out of selling, well, then the response might be companies will start to put up paywalls or put together subscription models. And I think that kind of future is what these organizations are concerned with.
Well, yeah, I mean, fundamentally, this is an age-old battle, opt out versus opt in. It sounds like even the creator of the original proposition had originally hoped that the simplest solution in some ways is to say that the default setting should be that companies can't sell our data. And if we want to let them, we can opt in, right?
Right. But that, you know, it does have some traction, but it's just culturally so different than how we've set our systems up. So it would be different if we had this conversation and this kind of rule, you know, when the, you know, internet was created, or, you know, when you first started doing more digital advertising. But we're so far down the path of another framework, you know, and I think the people behind this, McTaggart and Californians for Consumer Privacy, did try to have some voice of business at the table, because they want a law that, you know, can be workable, won't, you know, completely destroy an industry. But I think it's very hard to force an opt-in regime on a country that has, you know, really operated on an opt-out basis on almost every front for decades.
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess that's the question. You know, sometimes California sets the rules of the road for other parts of the country. And we've talked about that with CCPA. And I wonder, will the existence of this law at least begin to advance a larger conversation, continue to advance a larger conversation about privacy regulation?
Oh, definitely. I think there will be a lot more motivation to really get a federal privacy bill. Now, I say that sitting in, I don't know if you, I think it's day three, but it feels like day 45 of our election. Mm-hmm. What happens, you know, at the federal level is still very much in the air. And that's both with how the presidential election shakes out. But then also, I think we can kind of see where it's going, but kind of what it looks like in the Senate. And I think getting a federal privacy bill passed will be very difficult if we have, you know, divided House and Senate, or even some division between, you know, the president and the House and Senate. I think you need all three of those bodies to be in one party. I hate to say that, but to be in one party in order to see something pass. I think it'd be very challenging otherwise. So I think there'll be a push for it, but I'm not confident in the midst of our current political climate, you know, what the likelihood of that's going to be in the next 4 years.
Do you think it is inevitable that we will begin to create a system of haves and have-nots around data and privacy?
I do, unless we take some thoughtful steps to correct it, because there's fundamental right to privacy. I definitely agree to that. But there's no fundamental right to the content you have access to online. And I think if the business models shift and the current advertising model becomes less profitable, companies will have to look to other models. And those other models might require, you know, a pay for access, resulting in a good amount of inequality unless we can start to get ahead of it. And I think we haven't really seen any strong proposals to address that issue.
Jessica Lee is a partner with the law firm Loeb & Loeb. And now for some related links. There's a lot more reading on Prop 24, as it was known in California, and what this law might mean down the road on our website, marketplacetech.org. But tell you what, there's a reason this law passed handily in the state. It actually never trailed in the voting results. People do not trust tech companies or the devices we all use every day. A report released in September by Whistleout, which is a cell phone shopping and comparison site, found that more than 80% of Americans who responded to its survey think some big tech company is listening to them. Most think it's Facebook, some think TikTok, 45% think Google. Two-thirds of the respondents said they have definitely had that thing happen where they talk about something they've never searched for online and been targeted for a product ad. 55% think that's because of Facebook, 40% said TikTok, 39% think Google. That seems kind of low to me on the Google front, I'm not going to lie. Anyway, more than half said they thought the government should ban at least one big tech company. There's a link to that survey and the Forbes article where I found it at our website, marketplacetech.org. Jesus Alvarado, Stephanie Hughes, and Michael Lipkin produce the show. Our engineers are Robin Edgar and Becca Weinman. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. Have a good weekend. Try to get some rest. Eat whatever you want. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.